Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
And good morning, Western Oklahoma. It is The Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the sports animal. Jared Atha in studio. Aaron Calc still on location at Boiling Springs, just north of Woodward, covering the 4A Boys Golf State Tournament, where it's day two action coming up today. Actually, they've already started. They're going to get one round in today and see where they stand by the end of the day. Now, team-wise, might be a little bit of a struggle to get to the top, but individual-wise, I think there's a chance a couple of the guys could get into the top five, maybe even higher, as the day ended yesterday. There's a lot of hope in that regard. So we'll get a full report from Aaron coming up on that and talk all things golf. We had a couple of high school state championship games played yesterday in baseball. We'll talk about that and much, much more. We'll pick on Aaron's brain. And then we had some NBA last night. There's a lot to talk about, but the main topic of discussion, I think, is going to be what's happening up in Boiling Springs. A lot of ways you can stay connected on the show. It's real simple. You can download the Paragon. I go out of order. I don't know why I do this. You can download the Paragon app. You can stay connected with KADS, KECO, Cool 94, The Penny News, which, by the way, midnight tonight, the new edition of The Penny News goes online, thepennynews.com. And then tomorrow, a fresh new print edition will hit newsstands for you. All the deals right there in one convenient location. Also, don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook. We like to put a replay on the show on that on our Facebook page daily, The Skinny on Sports. And follow us on iTunes, where you can get an update in podcast form, a replay of the show in podcast form. So a lot of ways to stay connected. And be a part of the show, too, 580-225-9698. Just text us any questions, any comments you have, anything that you saw that we didn't see last night in the sports world. We love to have your input right there on our text line, 580-225-9698. So let's bring in Aaron right now. Again, he's live at Boiling Springs, just north of Woodward, Oklahoma. Beautiful Boiling Springs. A hot boy. Now, it's living up to its name. It's boiling out there, or what was yesterday, and I don't think it's going to get any better today temperature-wise. Aaron, how you doing? Are you staying cool anyways?
Yeah, I am right now. I'm underneath a bunch of trees, kind of dead in the water, trying to get the cart to kick on once we get done. But no, it's obviously it's earlier in the day, so it's pretty comfortable out here. The wind really blew mid-morning through the afternoon yesterday. When you look at the scores, both individually and as teams, they got worse in the afternoon for most players. I think the big part of that was just the conditions, man. It was hot, it was windy. As we mentioned yesterday, these greens are fantastic, they're speedy. And as it dried out, they just got harder and firmer. And the course, I think, probably won yesterday afternoon, outside of a couple of guys. Now, when you look on the individual leaderboard, you know, it feels like the scores were higher in round two than round one. But as far as the Elks go, you know, here's how hot it was. Baylor Golston dehydrated himself, and so he is not he played, gosh, probably 14 holes yesterday afternoon, and then just couldn't go. He got some IVs. He's not playing today. You know, Keaton Twyman, I know he was dead tired. But, you know, all in all, the Elks, this is going to be a great learning experience. And they're going to have at least they're going to have four guys back next year, and two of those guys are in the top five. When you look at the individual leaderboard, Nathan Walmack comes into the day at 149. He shot 75-74. He's five back of Drew Mabry from Holland Hall, who was 71-73, and then Will Sides, the runner-up last year, Trace Hill, is in second place at 145. Then Nathan's third at 149. Mason Schmitz in a tie for fifth at 152 this morning. We've already seen some fireworks. Braylon Duncan, the freshman for the Elks, he chipped in on number 10 for a birdie. And then in the couple groups later, Mason hit it in there 10 feet. He made birdie, and the player from Wagner, I hate that I don't have his name, he hit it left off the tee, was kind of in the sandy area. Not really, it's not a bunker, but if you've ever been up here to Boiling Springs, you get off the fairway, it's pretty sandy.
Right.
He threw it in there behind the hole about 25 feet, sucked it right down the hill in for a two. So we've already seen Probably more quality golf shots this morning than maybe we saw all day yesterday. I know there was never a time where there were back-to-back birdies that I got to send you, and that happened to start the day. So the Elks, you know, as far as the team title goes, that's a bridge way too far. I mean, they ended up at 720. The leader is 618. So there's, you know, literally no way to make up 100 shots to get a team title. But hopefully getting started here earlier than the leaders, Mason and Nathan, can take advantage of the conditions for the first few holes anyway before the wind maybe kicks up, get off to a good start and see if they can't reel in those top two. So it's going to be an interesting day here at Bowling Springs. Because like I said yesterday, I think without the wind, this course is gettable. There's uh-huh. enough holes
yeah.
to where if you get it in the fairway, you can hit wedges, the greens are receptive, you can use kind of the contouring a lot of times to get the ball close to the hole. That's what Mason did on the first, on number 10, kind of use the slopes to get it right there next to the hole and make a putt. So, you know, those guys, kudos to them. You know, they were in the heat of it team-wise last year, and now they're in the heat of the battle individually this year, being a junior and a sophomore.
I like that you mentioned it, you know, people will look at the team standings and see where Elk City is at and just say, well, darn. But it's much more than just how they finished this year. It's about that experience.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I don't think if you ask Nathan and Mason, you know, I think they're, you know, being in the battle last year and as a team, you know, it's a totally different mindset. You know, when you're out there a year ago, and you're every shot always counts when you add them up. But when you're adding them up for a team title, it's a little bit different than when you're kind of out here more individually this year. So they're going to get a good taste of that both ways. And then with the experience that some of these guys, the two freshmen, Keaton and Braden, are getting, you can see both of those guys just in the first few holes today, so much more comfortable, you know, so much more confident than maybe they were yesterday. So I think you're already being able to see a little bit of a difference with the experience that they gained yesterday. Come out here and play a good round, whatever that is for those guys right now. You know, that just builds, you know, and kind of wants you to, it gets you to work hard this summer and be ready to go in the spring next year, you know. And it was funny, you know, anybody that asks, I mean, you have to work at it. You have to spend the time, and you have to, you know, I went out of the hotel last night, the hotel room, to go get something to drink. And who was out there? There's a little nine-hole putt-putt course in the hotel we stayed at.
Right.
And Mason and Nate were out there putting.
Huh.
You know, and just, you know, it's just, it kind of shows you a little bit, I think, when you see that and you see the hunger and the love that they have for it. Hopefully that can rub off to the younger guys. And then, you know, next thing you know, a year from now, those guys gain experience, gain a little confidence, and maybe we're talking about a team title as opposed to just being in the mix individually for those two guys.
Right, yeah. Well, we're going to keep an eye on them on BigElkTV.com like we did yesterday. We'll have reports on the hour every hour until it's done. It's going to be much quicker today. I'm going to suspect around 3 o'clock at the latest. What's that?
If we're still here at 3 o'clock, I'm going to be disappointed.
That's why I say at the latest. It could be earlier than that. I didn't want to get too ahead of myself. But we're keeping an eye on Nathan Womack, Mason Schmidt, on how they do. And you're right. I could already tell because yesterday it was quite frankly hard to hear you because of the wind. And right now all I hear is birds chirping, and it sounds like it's a beautiful day up there in Boiling Springs. And that's not going to last all day. So hopefully they're taking advantage of the conditions right now. Cooler temperatures, less wind, better situation for them to maybe climb the leaderboard and stay up there. We'll have to wait and see. So we'll have updates on that throughout the day. Let's switch our attention to baseball.
Hang on.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You got some?
Let's go. Yeah, I got something else for 3A.
Yes.
Failed to mention yesterday. I completely forgot because I didn't have my notes and all that. But yesterday, around Sunday, a former Elk City and Ryder Cowan. Everybody, Rocky's his grandpa,
yeah.
Kansas grandma, Jill and Chandler's parents. On Sunday, he won the Junior Masters at Southern Hills. You know, Southern Hills, where the PGA will take place in a week. So Ryder won that birdie in the last two holes to win by a shot up there at Southern Hills. I think he shot even par 70. And then today, or yesterday, in the 3A tournament, which is down at Ardmore at Lakeside, Ryder's in the individual lead. He's got a two-shot lead over his teammate, Bryant Polhill. Ryder shot 70-65 for a 135 total. So his team is in second, six shots back. Ryder's got a two-shot lead heading into the day. So, you know, it's one of those guys that, man, you'd sure love to see in the brown and white. It's been a long time since he's been here, so that, you know, that's kind of – but when you see scores like that, you always kind of then think, boy, he'd sure look good, and that team score sure would be a lot different with having him here. But he's playing great. He committed OU back months ago, and so, you know, he's one of the best junior or amateur golfers in the state of Oklahoma, and he's showing it right now. With that two-shot lead over in Ardmore. So we'll definitely keep tabs on him as the day moves along as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he has a lot of ties out here and got a lot of fans out here too, along with families. So that's very cool to see him atop of the individual leaderboard. And you know, I don't doubt that his team will get up there too. They're not too far behind Christian Heritage. Okay, now let's talk about baseball. We'll start in Class A. They had the championship game yesterday between Canute and Red Oak. And, man, what a back-and-forth battle that one was. Red Oak would edge out Canute 7-6 and take home the title. And it just occurred to me, too, that there was a Class B championship game. I was laying in the bed last night, middle of the night, and I thought, well, who won that one? I didn't even check. Fort Cobb Broxton was playing number one Roth, and Roth won that one 9-3. So a couple of opportunities for some local teams anyways to bring home state championships come up short, but still brought home some hardware and still capped off some pretty successful seasons.
No doubt. You know, that's those two teams, you know, they kind of jockey back and forth. Fort Cobb does anyway, being in Class A, then coming down to Class B, depending on what year it is. And so, you know, a great season again for Coach Gillette and those Trojans. It had to have been a great game. I know I saw 5-5 in the fifth. End up 7-6. Red Oak got them. Roth, on the other hand, boy, they're dominant in whatever class they are, and that's now four straight state championships for the Tigers. So the heartbreak that they felt on the basketball floor has not translated over to the baseball diamond. That's one of the premier programs in Oklahoma in baseball. Also baseball, we found out yesterday that the Big Elks on Thursday, 1:30 at Shawnee, they will play Verdigris. I was actually getting a couple of notes here from J-Mac. Let's see what he had to say about Verdigris. They got a player, Jax Ryan, that's committed to OU. He's their best on the mound. He's been hurt. They swing it okay. They bunt and run. And so it'd be maybe a little bit different style that the Elks see Verdigris coming up on Thursday. But that's a 1:30 game Thursday. Big Elk TV, you'll be there on the call for the Elks and Verdigris. The schedule lays out like this. If the Elks are able to win, they'll play at 11 o'clock on Friday morning in the semifinals, and then the final at Shawnee would be at 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon or late afternoon. So, you know, there's a lot going on there with baseball, not only with those state title games yesterday, but also what's coming up in the Class 4A state tournament this week.
But before, I mean, I hate to look ahead, but any idea of the other quarterfinal of a possible matchup in that semifinal?
Tuttle.
Sorry?
Tuttle.
Okay.
If it's laid out on the bracket, I know that'll be official today, maybe even right now, this morning.
Just checked. It wasn't there yet, but...
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I know that there were games yesterday, and then I'd read on the website of the OSSA that the official state tournament brackets for, 2A through 6A would be released sometime this morning. So you'll see that. But the way in the manual that's posted on the website, the way that lays out, Regional 1 and Regional 8 play each other, 4 and 5 play each other on one half, and then the other half is 7 and 2 and 6 and 3. So looking at that, without seeing it officially, it would appear to me that, yeah, Tuttle would be who the Elks would face if they can get by Verdigris on Thursday. And then obviously the Tigers have had to win as well.
And Verdigris, looking at their schedule, very impressive. 30-4 overall, and just I'm not good with numbers, but looking at how many runs that they score, they average at around 12 runs a game, maybe around 10. They have some impressive wins, credited to them as well, taking down like Number 7, Morrison. Some big schools, too. Owosso, who's traditionally pretty good in baseball. The list goes on and on. So it's going to be a tough out for Elk City, but I love the potential pitching versus hitting matchup. Elk City's pitching versus their hitting. I think it's going to be very intriguing.
Yeah, and I mean, without just guessing, I think everybody knows what the Elks will have on the mound on Thursday with Cash Mayfield, a guy that was committed to OSU before he even threw a varsity pitch as a freshman. He's been dominant all year long, over 2 strikeouts an inning, 0.6 ERA, which came down a little bit in the 5-inning shutout he threw in regional. So, yeah, I mean, if you're Coach Mack and all the guys and the fans in the brown and white, you couldn't be more confident. You couldn't feel better about what you got on the hill. And, you know, you put your best out there. If it's good enough, you play the next day. If it turns out it's not, then you had a heck of a season, and you figure out a way to build on that for next year. But, I think it'll be fun. You're right, because Verdigris, when you look at their scores, they pile up the runs. They may not do it, you know, by hitting the long ball, but they do it by getting on base and kind of putting people in motion and that kind of thing. And so that's an interesting matchup with Cash going to be on the hill for the Elks.
And staying in high school athletics, and we'll wrap it up with this. A couple local teams still alive in the soccer playoffs. Clinton boys and girls playing tonight. I think there's been some time change on that, so you might want to check. I think 5:30 the girls game, 6 o'clock the boys game. Clinton boys hosting Hilldale in the bowl, and Clinton girls on the way to Metro Christian. This is semifinal action, so they get a couple wins. They are in the state championship game on Friday or Saturday, so we'll know that by tomorrow. Anything else?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes, tennis.
Tennis.
Elk City boys,
yes.
Tennis. They were the regional champions yesterday. First time since 2017 that they've won the regional. They were first. Bean was second. Oklahoma Christian Academy was third. In the singles, the Sanger boys both won the regional. Evan Sanger, first and number one singles. He had a bye in the first round. He beat Oklahoma Christian Academy's Whitehead 6-2, 6-love in the semis. Beat Anadarko's Coombs 6-1, 6-love in the final. Evans undefeated this season against 4A opponents. His twin brother Carter, who is the defending number two singles champion, he also had a bye in the first round. He beat Beings Murray 6-love, 6-love in the semis. Beat Anadarko's McCarthy 6-love, 6-love in the finals. Carter's undefeated, period, against all opponents this season in number two singles. Then the team of Grant Graham and Matthew Thompson were fourth in number one doubles. They lost Oklahoma Christian Academy, but they made it to the state tournament. And then James Robinson and Sivan Sirabooth were second in number two doubles as they won their first match against Tecumseh, won their second match against Clinton. They fell in the finals to Bing to take second place. The tennis team, Elk City Boys Tennis, played in 10 tournaments this year. They won first in 9 of them. They were second in the other. And then, of course, the regional champs sets its sight on state. That'll be Friday and Saturday. Evan and Carter will be deep into that tournament. Obviously, Carter, the defending champion in number two singles. And then the doubles teams also will have a chance to be there on the podium as well. So really good stuff going from Elk City Tennis. They've got a shot at being on the podium as a team. A bunch of those individuals, the singles and the double teams have shots. Looks like Tulsa's Holland Hall will be the team that everybody kind of has their eyes on to try to figure out a way to take the team title. So Elk City Boys Tennis, fantastic season already, and they're looking to continue that once they get up into the state tournament Friday and Saturday.
Very good. You know, we're 25 minutes in the show, and we have failed to mention our sponsor. It's Paul Jones Drug. Big thank you to Rodney Skinner and his staff over there sponsoring today's show. They do a lot over there. Experience Compounding, the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. Free local delivery, drive-through pickup, curbside testing and vaccinations, and much more. We'll talk about them coming up throughout the show as well. We got to take our opening timeout. We'll come back. Talk much more sports. Aaron is live at Boiling Springs Golf Course, just north of Woodward, for the 4A Boys State Golf Tournament. Following the Big Elks and a couple of individuals are playing some good golf today, or they did yesterday and continue it today. And much more to talk about coming up right after this. Keep it right here. It's the Skinny on Sports on The Animal.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports on the Sports Animal, 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS. The Sports Animal, Jared Athan studio. We have Aaron Kalk on location, Boiling Springs Golf Course, just a little north of Woodward, Oklahoma, following the Elk City Big Elk golf team as they are in action. Day two of the 4A Boys State Golf Tournament up in Boiling Springs. Couple of young men in contention for maybe some top honors. So we're going to have full updates all day long on BigElkTV.com. Just 18 holes today, so it'll be a quick day as far as updates are concerned. So keep it locked on BigElkTV.com for all the latest and get some latest highlights for you as well. All right, Aaron, so after golf last night, what did you do? Did you just go hit up the hotel room and watch a bunch of basketball, or what was on your agenda?
Well, we went and got a little bite to eat, and then we went to the hotel.
I got to stop you. You're with Sean Wilson. There's nothing little and bite to eat with Sean.
it's like watching a Hoover vacuum. Just suck it up. So we did that, and of course I had to continue to work because that's what it seems like I do until about 10:30, doing the things that I normally do
right
during the day at the station, and then watched probably the final couple of minutes of the Warriors comeback win over the Grizzlies. It was obvious the Grizz were missing their guy Ja Morant there at the end as the Dylan Brooks tried to take over and couldn't. What did he end up? 3 of 17, I think actually 4 of 18 because he banked one in there that didn't matter at the end. It was just one of those games in a series where you saw the one team that has that championship medal and the championship to boot with Golden State making the right plays down the stretch. Steph Curry outscored the Grizzlies by himself down the stretch, 10-8. They played great defense. Draymond Green with a block shot on Jaren Jackson that really kind of sealed it, with the Warriors up 3 inside of 20 seconds left. So it was just one of those games where, you know, the team with the experience, the team with the championships under their belt made plays to win games. You see it all the time in the playoffs, and that's a big reason why they are who they are. The other game, that series is just going to be awesome. I thought Boston forced Giannis to try to kind of do it by himself, and nobody really helped him out, and the Celtics were able to get that win, even in that series, at two games apiece. Hey, I wanted to mention something else.
Yeah.
Coming up next Tuesday, it's the 17th of May, over at the Edge Church in Clinton, they're going to host the FCA Champions Luncheon.
Oh.
It's 11:45 to 1:15 at the Edge. Some of the folks that will be speaking will be the Arapahoe Butler High School girls coach, Christy Edlin, Farron Griffin from down at Cash, Kira Berkey, one of the Berkey twins from Hydro Weekly, Carson Kinder from Arapahoe Butler, and Danny Satilli from Elk City. It's funny that Rodney is the sponsor of our show on Tuesdays there at Paul Jones Drug because, you know, he did everything. We talked about him. You know, I would get so frustrated how he would play. He would practice baseball, not really practice golf, and then come out and beat me on the golf course. Danny's a lot like that, man. She plays everything, and then also is the drum major of the band, softball, soccer, basketball, everything. Danny Satilli was involved in. Great young gal, and certainly an awesome representative of Elk City High School, and she'll be over there speaking as well at that FCA Champions Luncheon.
That's very cool. That is very cool. And again, that's coming up next Tuesday.
Yes, Tuesday, 11:45 to 1:15 at the Edge Church in Clinton.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, I could be. Usually I am. The Edge Church, I think, is held inside the Frisco Conference Center.
Okay. You would know more about that.
I think that's right. I'm not 100% sure I can effort that, but I'm pretty sure that's where that's at. So if someone's looking for the Edge Church in Clinton, you might start the Frisco Conference Center. If it's not there, they know, they definitely will tell you where it's at. You mentioned Paul Jones. It is a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Thank you to Rodney. You talk about everything he did in high school. He continues that in his professional life over there at Paul Jones Drug. Convenience packaging, which is really cool. Individual packaging for your daily meds. It's real simple. He packages it up for you, labels it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, etc. That way you're not confused. And you just open it up, take your pills, and you're good to go. DME, durable medical equipment. We're talking walkers, canes, crutches, wraps, braces, maybe a sling for a five-year-old, gifts and greeting cards, and most insurance is accepted. 809 North Main Street is Paul Jones Drug. Care you can trust. Call them up, 580-225-2121. Yeah, NBA playoffs. I'm disappointed. The Ja Morant thing, I had high hopes that would be the series. That would be the fun one. But I think Celtics-Bucks is that turn into that seven-game series.
Yeah, it's pretty weird that the only series that's 3-1 is that Memphis Golden State one. You know, everything else is 2-2, and you know, over the weekend it looked like Philly, Dallas, and you never really thought Bucks Boston was going to be, you know, a short series. But give kudos to Philly and Dallas. Now we'll see if they can do it on the road. They got their guys playing well at home, evening up the series. Obviously, Philly gets Joel Embiid back. Which makes all the difference in the world, because then you, with Joel Embiid, now all of a sudden you see James Harden looking a little bit more like James Harden in that game four win when he had 31. It's what we were hoping to see. You know, sometimes it doesn't materialize where these series are as good as we thought going in, but it does look like we're going to get some barn burners, and I think we'll get at least one game seven, if not two, out of these other three series, with Golden State probably having the upper hand and ending that against Memphis, maybe in five if Morant can't play, but you'd feel really good about that being a six-game series back in San Francisco if Memphis is able to extend that another game with a win in game five.
Absolutely, and tonight's games, Sixers and Heat, and Mavs and Suns. Both games, or both series, tied at 2 apiece. I got the latest here. The Edge is next door to United in Clinton. So go to end of JC Lane right there. You can find the Edge. You want to know how old I am? I remember what store was in there before. A long time ago, it was called Wonder World.
Wonder World.
Yeah, I'm that old. I'm Wonder World old. But, yeah, the Edge is is next door to United in Clinton. Hey, what did you think about Monty Williams getting Coach of the Year? I felt like that was due last year, but he got it this year. That's pretty cool to see, you know, knowing where he came from and everything he's been through.
Yeah, no doubt. It's probably a year late, quite honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
With how he guided the Suns last year, you know, it feels like barring one of those two, Scott Brooks back in 2010. That took the Thunder into the playoffs out of nowhere with a 50-win season. Barring kind of one of those, and, you know, I guess you could say Taylor Jenkins was kind of that guy this year for Memphis, probably without what the Suns did last year and getting Williams kind of into the consciousness of that award, Jenkins probably wins it and maybe even should have won it anyway. But it is a cool, you know, with all the heartache that Williams went through here, but and able to get the Suns back to where they are again this year, you know, it's deserved. But it kind of like what we were talking about, the MVP yesterday, you know, saying somebody else is worthy doesn't necessarily mean that he's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so with the Jokic Embiid conversation, it's kind of the same to me with the Coach of the Year. Monty Williams, sure, that's fine. But I think you know, if you really start to nitpick the thing, you know, Taylor Jenkins obviously was in the top three of that voting, and he probably has just as much right to it as Williams. And so now you kind of look forward to next year. If Memphis can have another good year, I think he would be right there, you know, toward the top of that list heading into the season. But, yeah, congratulations to Monty Williams for sure, and well-deserved. And he's done just a fantastic job there with Phoenix, and you know, it sure helps to have Chris Paul on your team, Devin Booker also. But you know, that's a cool thing, knowing what he went through here and the tragedy with his wife passing away when he was part of the Thunder organization.
I think the hardest thing at any pro level of any sport is to get command or respect from a team, because it's adults coaching adults. And the video I've saw or I've seen where his family comes out, surprises him to let him know he won this award. It was during practice, and the whole team was just around him. It just the respect that he gets from those players, that is huge to me. When everybody's on the same page, everybody is rooting for. You know what I mean? I think that's hard. That could be the hardest thing in as a coach at a professional level, is to get a team all on one page or to respect you, you know, because like, man, who are you? I'm older than you, or we're the same age. You can't talk to me like that. But they all seem to gravitate towards Monty Williams.
Yeah, no doubt. And he's obviously able to relate to those players, you know, and that certainly helps in gaining that respect. And, you know, I think, you know, job one when they traded for Chris Paul was to get that. I think they obviously had a relationship prior to that happening. But sure, you're right. I think that's the most underrated thing about coaching. I think when you get into the playoff situations, the drawing up plays and all that the criticism or the praise is heaped on those guys at end of game situations is overrated. You know, you throw the ball to your best guy, and he either makes a shot or makes a play for somebody, or he misses. You know, it's more on the players, to me, because of the way the game is played at the end. But to be able to mesh with guys, to get guys to play hard for you, to get guys to rally around each other when they're making all that money, there, and quite frankly, making more money than you. You know, it's not. Yeah. It's totally different than what it, well. What it used to be in the college game. Maybe that's not the case anymore with all the NIL stuff. There may be guys making more money than the coaches in some of these sports moving forward. But I think that's the secret to what the greatest have. You know, Phil Jackson was able to mesh with guys and get guys, you know, from Michael Jordan down to Steve Kerr to play for each other. You know, Pop was able to do that with his stars and Tim Duncan and all those guys around him. And in San Antonio, and you see it throughout the league, that the best are able to kind of make a team as opposed to just having a bunch of individuals playing with the same jersey on.
Staying in the NBA, we didn't talk about this yesterday. I'd love to get your take on this. The situation that happened in Dallas on Sunday where the fan, or the kid, it looked like a teenager, well, I was thrown out of a game because he had made physical contact with Chris Paul's wife, mother, kids. I didn't get the full list, but I mean, that upset Chris Paul. We've all seen the video of how he reacted to it. Another case of unruly fans. What do you take of that?
Yeah, is it? This is pretty. It's pretty murky right now. You know, the initial reaction is, oh, great, here we go again. You know, yesterday, just trying to kind of give them a hug, if that was really happening, it seems to be on the Mavs side, is, you know, it was called an unwarranted hug. So was it disrespectful like we thought, or was it, you know, it's really a gray area here that I don't know what you do about it. I know Monty Williams, speaking of him, he talked about how there needs to be more of maybe a family section in these arenas for visiting fans or visiting families, for sure. You know, I think it's hard for me to completely judge that situation without knowing exactly what was going on, because if they were just trying to kind of give them some love, and you know, that's still probably not what you need to do, but that's a lot different than maybe what we thought it was at first. And you know, we've seen too many of the situations where it was, you know, something completely out of line. Don't know exactly how out of line this was, if that's really what the case was, where they were kind of trying to give them some love and they didn't want, you know, after a loss and all that stuff. So it's nowhere near some of the other, you know, situations where you know, in Utah where Westbrook's getting, you know, racial slurs lobbed at him, or even in Philly with that weirdo behind the basket out in that first game without Durant. You know, I remember that video where he kind of points at him like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah,
I don't know if it reaches that level of animosity from what the Dallas fans were going to do, but they're paying the price. They can't come back until 2023, so that's a hefty price to pay, and maybe it goes to the point of just leave them alone. And the easiest way to leave them alone is to have them all by themselves, or at least secluded enough away to where those interactions can't happen between, you know, families of the players and just regular old fans. So I think it's something that has to be addressed, not only in the NBA, but I think it's everywhere. You know, you see, as much fun as it is to be able to sit there and drink beer at the games, you wonder how much that contributes, but maybe not in this case because of how young the kid looks. But, you know, that's just another layer of problems that get out of this. I know in the NFL especially, man, you see fights in the stands all the time.
Yeah.
And I think alcohol plays a huge part in that. And, you know, you don't want to ruin it for everybody, and it's not a ton of people doing it. But at the same time, eventually, you would think that would have to be something that gets looked at, and then all of a sudden that experience for the people that can handle it correctly goes away. And I don't think that's what anybody wants to see, but there may be something to be looked at there to where, you know, you start kind of considering, you know, if whether it be, you know, shut off those sales. I know a lot at OSU the other day, at the end of the seventh inning stretch, so after the top of the seventh inning, you know, that was the end of it. A lot of times in the football games, the end of the third quarter, that's when that kind of stops, and I don't ever see it being taken away completely, but you might start seeing, you know, halftime being the cutoff for some of that stuff if these things continue to happen and if it's alcohol related, which sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't.
Yeah, I see that happening, cutting them off, and I just see a zero tolerance policy being swept across sports. Like, if you do one thing, you're out for the rest of the season or out whatever they deem necessary. Once they start laying down the law, I think other fans will follow suit. Like, I don't want to get kicked out for the entire season, you know? I mean, imagine the guy, if there's some kind of a policy, that guy you mentioned, the first game of the NBA season over in Philly, where he's just giving Westbrook the bird, straight up giving him the bird and being obscene. I'm not saying that's warranted to get thrown out of an arena, but something like that, or something where he were to lay his hand on him or something, I think that would kind of curb that, to say, man, I don't want to touch this guy or his family because we just started the season and I don't want to get thrown out for the entire season. Or something like that, some kind of across-the-board law, rule, or whatever that the NBA front office could come down with, and not just the NBA, but all of sports. Speaking of which, NFL, yeah. Go ahead. You got some – go ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't want to take the fun out of it.
Right,
know,
right.
Because it's becoming so much harder to get people to actually want to go to the games and experience it in the stands, because the viewing experience on television has become so great, you know, with the advancements in TV, the advancements in the way that they cover those games and they broadcast those games. You know, it's getting harder and harder, even in the pure passionate fan bases of college football, where you're not seeing completely full stadiums. And so you don't want to take that fan experience away. You don't want to ruin the game day experience. But who's ruining it right now? Is it the fans? And I think in a lot of cases you could say the answer to that is yes. And so maybe a little bit more, like you say, if the penalty is known before and it's as stringent as what this is going to be, then maybe that does make somebody think twice before, even if it's completely innocent, like maybe it wasn't Dallas. It still makes you think twice and not going ahead and doing stuff like that.
Moving to the NFL, you know what's happening on Thursday is the schedule release, and like every year, they start hinting at some big games that are happening. I think this morning I saw Broncos and Rams will play on Christmas Day. There's some others. They're hinting at London games, some more London games, stuff like that. And I think the bigger news was Tom Brady already has his career path set out after whenever he's done with football, which could be another 10 years. He's going to be an analyst on Fox Sports. Do you see that?
I did not see that. Interesting.
Already laid out. It said he's, when he's done, whenever that is, and I'm quoting here, whenever that is, he will go to Fox Sports as an analyst. And that's huge for Fox Sports because didn't they lose Aikman and Joe Buck?
Yes, they did. And yeah. That, you know, that makes sense with that opening there. That's very interesting. You wondered for him if he would do more the Peyton Manning approach where you're not completely out of the public eye, but you're certainly not right in the middle of it. Or, you know, you would think with the way Romo's been with Aikman, you want to hear, or at least I do, I would love to hear what Tom Brady's thinking as plays are being, you know, as the quarterback at the line of scrimmage barking out signals, what's real, what's not. I think that just, it makes, for me anyway, that experience so much more fun of being able to understand in real time what he's thinking. You know, the Manning cast, which I loved, it's not really that pre-play. Now they might go back and tell you kind of what they see after the play is over, and you know, whatever, whether they do like half the games or whatever. So it's not like, you know, Peyton and Eli are sitting there calling out, okay, here comes this, here comes that, in the way that maybe Romo would do, and hopefully the way Brady would be. I think that's fascinating that's the path that he wants to go down. Did you see what the mayor of Dallas said yesterday?
Yeah, he said that the Dallas Metroplex could sustain another NFL team, kind of like New
that
York.
Wild?
Very wild.
Yeah,
very
New
wild.
New York and L.A. Gosh, you know, the Metroplex is one of the largest areas, obviously, in the country. That's an amazing thought because, you know, the Cowboys are the Cowboys, and as much as certain, you know, you don't want to, America's team is their label, and people gravitate toward love or hate of what they're doing and want to watch them either win or lose or embarrass themselves. I think that's an interesting thought to maybe even break that up. You know, what would a new team, where would the fan base come from? Would there be, are there enough people in that area to support that quite frankly hate the Cowboys, you know, in Dallas? I think that is such an interesting thought to have, because it's certainly not, it makes sense with the size of what the Metroplex is and the love of football, obviously, in the state of Texas. You know, football is king. It's just something that I've never thought about. It's never occurred to me to have another team just because of the brand that what the Cowboys are, and to be able to try to kind of get into that market with somebody else. I think that is that's a wild thought, and I don't know that I think that'll happen, but if it does, I think it'd be kind of cool to see how that would develop and where that would go from the standpoint of where does their fan base come from.
I think the real if, you know, I'm agreeing with you, it's not going to happen, but it's fun to talk about. Now, Jerry wouldn't allow someone to play in Jerry World, someone else other than the Cowboys, like MetLife hosts two teams. You know what I mean?
You wouldn't think so.
No. I could see him putting his foot down going, uh-uh, this is my house and no one else is playing in it.
Right. And so now, if that is the case and Jerry wouldn't allow that, now what do you do? Do you build another $3 billion stadium?
or play in the Cotton Bowl? Which, once upon a time, NFL was played there. Did that lose you?
I don't know. No. I was just here thinking.
Yeah.
I was kind of pondering the idea of what would happen to that.
Would be, if you build a new stadium, you have to ask that public you just talked about, is there enough public that would support that? Or they go, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, I'm not going to support this. I'm not going to vote on a bond to support another team for another stadium. We got a stadium. We got a nice one. So, and it's occupied by America's team and no one else.
You wouldn't think there's any way Jerry would let him play there.
Oh, he would never sign off on it. No.
No, I wouldn't think so either. So then that's a whole nother can of worms. Where does it go? You know, that's an interesting thought, but I have a hard time believing we actually see that come to fruition at any point in the Metroplex with another NFL team.
No, it's fun to talk about, but because of who Jerry Jones is, I don't see that happening. He has too much pull to say, no way. Not in my backyard.
Maybe that seed is planted knowing that, you know, Jerry already looks like a crypt keeper. So he can't be too much longer with us. Maybe that's a seed planted for sure. A little bit further down the line.
The thing that would turn him, listen, everything has a price. So if somebody said, okay, what's your rent fee? You know, we'll pay you X amount of dollars to play here. And, you know, maybe they slide a blank check across the table to him. I don't know. Everything has a price.
Oh, well, yeah. There's no doubt. Money rules. No matter what kind of walk of life you're in, the almighty dollar is a decision maker at times for anybody and everybody. Yep. And so if that's flopped out there far enough in front of him and big enough in front of him, maybe he does. But it was so kind of out of left field for me to even consider that thought, just because I never have. And because it's the Cowboys, you know,
yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys. And yeah, I guess you just kind of, you take it for granted that's the team there and that's going to be the team there. Whereas those other places kind of already have those established. I mean, it'd be like, you know, Chicago's huge. What are we going to have someone else there with the Bears? No, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Because of the loyalty of those fans. So, cool thought. I don't know if we ever see that.
No, I don't either. Kind of full circle here. The future of – this is a tweet I found. Excuse me. The future of NFL games, the broadcast, CBS, Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, Fox, Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady, whenever he's done, NBC, Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth, ESPN, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, and Amazon, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. Some big names of broadcasting.
You got a favorite there?
Listen, I know everyone rips Joe Buck, but I like Joe and Troy together. Jim Nantz and Tony might be a close second. He was a pleasant surprise when he left the league and he came into this. I thought he was doing a great job. I'm anxious to hear what Al Michaels and Kirk, how that pairing will sound like.
Me too. I think that one could be, you know, with Kirk, kind of the face and the voice of college football for the past decade at least.
No.
You know, that's an interesting move that he's making to kind of delve into that arena. We've seen him at the draft, more of kind of the college expert
right.
on an NFL stage. And so can he gain that credibility that those other analysts have, Troy and Collinsworth and also Tony Romo? And Brady obviously comes in with it. We'll see how he does. But that's the one that excites me the most because, in my opinion, outside of Vin Scully, Al Michaels is the greatest to ever do it from a play-by-play voice. How do they mesh, and how are they able to become as a team? Because, you know, Al's getting up there, but he doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like he's lost his fastball whatsoever when you hear him call those games. And so, you know, maybe he's able to kind of take Kirk under his wing, and that could end up being my favorite just because my favorite lead is obviously, or for me, it's Al Michaels.
Yeah. Okay, 9:55. We got to take one more break, don't we? Yeah. Let's take that right now. We'll come back and wrap things up. Aaron is live at Boiling Springs Golf Course for the 4A Boys State Golf Tournament, covering the Big Elks all day today or for most of the morning and early afternoon. Only playing 18 holes. We'll have updates on Big Elk TV. We'll wrap up sports coming up right after this.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
You can't say on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Wrapping up the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the Sports Animal. Jared Atha with you in studio. Aaron Kalk on location. He will be back tomorrow, but tomorrow's about our only normal day. And then we got some stuff at the end of the week we'll go and cover. And the big one is the Oak City Elk baseball team in the state tournament. Again, if you haven't heard, they are in the 4A state tournament taking on Verdigris. in the first round at a 1:30 from Shawnee. And I'm going to jump online just to check, see if we have a bracket yet. We do not. Darn. Let's hope we have some breaking news. Oh, well. Aaron, you're at Boiling Springs. And, again, just kind of recapping what we've talked about, a couple of young men with a great opportunity today individually for the Big Elks to maybe get up into a contention here.
Yeah, I got some updated scores. Keaton Twyman playing way better than he did yesterday. He's plus +9 through six holes. Just fives and sixes today, where he had some sevens and eights yesterday. So Keaton, plus +9 through six. The other guys, Nate and Mason, the two guys you're talking about, Nathan Womack came in third individually. He's one over through three, as is Mason Schmidt. Mason birdied the first and made a couple of bogeys on 11 and 12. So he's plus +1 through three. Braden Duncan birdied the first with a chip in that you can see on the first highlight package. It was really cool. So he chipped in for birdie on 10 and made a double and a bogey. So he's just two over through three holes here in the early going. So the Elks, much, much better start than what they had yesterday. The weather, like you said, you know, yesterday I'm sure it was kind of a little bit of a slog trying to hear me through the wind. Just a gentle little breeze, just enough to kind of cool you off here in the early going of this final round. So the Elks, team-wise, not in contention at any sort of state championship or even the top three finish. But individually, those guys are battling. And, you know, when you start on 10, 10's one of the easier holes out here. But then after that, 11, 12, 13, it's probably a harder start on the back nine than it is on the front nine, with one and two being pretty simple holes, and then number three, kind of a placement tee shot, and then a tougher second shot up the hill to a small green. But I think these guys, you get through the first three or four holes right around even par, then you can start kind of making some hay as you finish the back nine first, and then turn around and start playing the front nine, as the first, you know, six holes on the front are all fairly gettable outside of maybe number three, and then that tough finish with seven, eight, and nine.
Very good. Final thoughts. I'm sure we could touch on this tomorrow. Oh, you got a recruit, football recruit, defensive back Caleb Spencer. Did you see that? I think he's a three-star guy.
Yeah, another guy. Who was the other guy? I think there was two.
Well, they got a quarterback transfer out of the portal from Pitt, Davis Bevel.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's the ones I saw yesterday.
Help kind of shore up the depth of at quarterback position. So
yeah, another OSU got a kid running back from Texas A&M. DeAndre Johnson, was that his name, I think?
That's right.
You know, that's a position that everybody's kind of worried about with depth along that running back room at Oklahoma State. And, you know, after we mentioned they had 12 out and nobody coming in, what, a month ago, Oklahoma State's got some offensive linemen now as the running back from A&M. So they're kind of shoring things up. And I think we kind of knew that there was going to be another wave of this once spring ball is over. Guys kind of evaluate where they're at the programs they're at, and if they don't like, you know, something with the playing time, or they can kind of see the writing on the wall in one spot, they start looking around. So it's not surprising here that at the first of May you start seeing a little bit more movement, and then that should settle down as we get into the summertime, looking forward to the fall and the college football season.
Absolutely, and it's what I've always heard. We even heard it from the guy out west. The transfer portal is the door works both ways. So I was never really worried for OSU, knowing that there will be return from people leaving. There will be people coming. So I'm glad that's working out for them. Hey, we're over time. We got to go. We're going to start our broadcast or our updates on BigElkTV.com. I'll see if I could get a package together as soon as I can, maybe a little after, 10, which is now. And we'll have updates throughout the rest of the day at the top of each hour with highlights and updated scores as we get them. And it'll be a quick day again, only playing 18. And as you just heard, one individual already playing six holes, so already approaching the turn here within the hour or so. So, Aaron, have fun, stay cool, stay hydrated, and keep sending those videos. They're good stuff.
All right, man. Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you to Rodney Skinner, Paul Jones Drug.
Absolutely.
Our Tuesday sponsor.
Absolutely. Thank you to Paul Jones Drug, our Tuesday sponsor. Thank you to Aaron for calling in, being a part of the show. And thank you to you, the listener. We got to go. We'll do it again tomorrow. You've been listening to The Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the sports animal.
You've been listening to The Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.